Well, today is Palm Sunday, and we celebrate Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem while the people waved the palm branches from the trees. It's an event that's described in all four Gospels, and when we see that across the Gospels, we know that this is an important event, an important part of the Gospel narrative. And the excited crowd has heard the rumour. Jesus, this strange teacher from Galilee, is coming to the city of Jerusalem for the Passover to celebrate the festival among them. And they see him coming, and he's riding on a donkey, walking alongside its colt. And perhaps a few of them even remember the old prophecy written centuries before by Zechariah. Your king comes to you triumphant and victorious, riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. They remember that prophecy, and at least some of them apply it to Jesus. And they cry out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. They throw their cloaks on the road to create a pathway for him, for Jesus to ride over. Others cut leafy branches from the trees and they spread them out and they wave them. It's a very festive scene. And so Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem and goes on towards the temple. And this year, in our lectionary readings, we read from Matthew's Gospel. And Matthew, although the story is told in all the Gospels, Matthew is the only one to specifically mention the children. And they're doing what children of every generation do. Even our Sunday school children, when they run around after the morning worship. The kids are rushing around the temple courtyard. They're caught up in all the excitement of the day. They're shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David. It's an open proclamation that Jesus is the expected Messiah. And yet then, as now sometimes, it annoys some of the adults. The top religious VIPs, the chief priests, the scribes, well, they were angry at the children. They were angry that small children could see a truth they themselves were blind to. And all they heard and all they saw was noise and running around. And they told Jesus to shut the kids up. Jesus refuses. He could hear perfectly clearly what the children were shouting. And he told them so. He quotes from Psalm 8, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself. Well, that's the scene in Jerusalem on the first day of this Holy Week. With all that was going on, we can imagine the disciples of Jesus not quite knowing what to make this. No doubt as Jesus came in, they were either side of the donkey and the colt, a bit like the President of America with his outrunners running alongside the limousine. They were protective of Jesus. They were wary about what was going on. They knew Jerusalem was not going to be an easy place to go into. Perhaps they'd spoken among themselves about it. What was going on in their minds as they tried to stay close to him as he rode into Jerusalem in this chaos surrounded by the jostling crowd? Jesus surrounded by all of them and yet ultimately alone. And Jesus is alone. We've been talking over these weeks of Lent about being in exile, and Jesus certainly is in exile. He is alone. He is apart from the crowd. And of course, this is hardly the first time that there have been crowds around Jesus. It's happened many, many times before. And no doubt the crowds grew as his reputation spread. But very often the crowds came for dubious reasons. Some in the crowds perhaps wanted to see Jesus perform. It wasn't much beyond the level of wanting him to do some sort of magic trick for them. Others, perhaps they came apparently hoping that he was going to declare a holy war. A war on the occupying Romans, driving them back into the sea. few in that crowd, very few, it seemed, really understood or cared to understand what he was about or who he was. And there's little reason to think it was much different with this crowd on this day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Jesus is alone in exile apart from the crowd, but he's also alone in exile apart from the disciples. Over and over and over in the Gospels, as we read them, we find the closest disciples of Jesus just not getting it. And even though they were privileged to go about in his close company for these 3 years or so, they just don't seem to get it. They don't get who he is. They don't get what he is about. It's true, as we read in the Gospels, they have rare moments of insight when we who are reading the story think to ourselves, ah, finally they get it. The light bulb has come on. But then understanding seems to fade once more. And this was certainly the case on this day, on this Palm Sunday. In another of the Gospels, John's Gospel, John puts it quite bluntly. He says, his disciples did not understand these things. Jesus is alone, in exile, apart from the disciples. And Jesus is also alone, in exile, apart from the leaders of the people. All through his years of public ministry, up and down the country, Jesus has been really disturbing the status quo, disturbing the way things are. Perhaps he should have carried around one of these warning signs or the Rolling Stone signs. A number of those in positions of authority had become increasingly distressed by Jesus. Some of them saw Jesus as a misguided teacher, leading people astray with false teaching as they saw it. Others worried about the turmoil that Jesus caused, that would come to the attention of the Roman authorities, who would do heaven knows what if they suspected some kind of revolt was brewing. And no doubt some were concerned for their own cushy positions, which depended on carrying favour with the Roman occupiers. Whatever their reasons, whatever their motivations, many had concluded that this Jesus had to be dealt with once and for all. He had to go, be taken out of the picture. And in Luke's account of this story, some of the Pharisees, apparently outraged at the crowd's adulation, demanded of Jesus that he ordered the disciples to stop. They're ordering the children to shut up. They're ordering the disciples to stop. Doubtless they were not amused when Jesus refused and told them, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. They were not amused at all. And Mark, in his account of the day, puts it darkly and ominously. And when the chief priests and the scribes heard, they kept looking for a way to kill him. That is definitely exile. Definitely being alone. And Jesus will soon experience ultimate exile. That is apartness from God. And while today we focus on the events of Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, we cannot and must not forget that a dark cloud hangs over these events. It's weighing down on Jesus as he goes into the city. Only a few days later, Jesus would be arrested and hustled off in the middle of the night. He'd be put through the mockery of two awful trials. He'd be beaten up, he'd be sentenced, he'd finally be executed by crucifixion. And it's clear that he knew what was coming. He knew the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah's words of someone being beaten and struck, insulted and spat upon, having the beard pulled out their face. He knew these words would apply to him. But as Isaiah went on, Jesus had set his face like flint. He was determined to see this through to the end. To be, as Paul in his letter to the Philippians puts it, to be obedient to the point of death. Jesus knew what was coming. He warned the disciples. He tried to prepare them. He told them plainly he was going to die in Jerusalem. But they didn't understand, or they couldn't accept it. And I suppose that's not too surprising. On this day we call Palm Sunday, we reflect on the story. Jesus, surrounded by the crowd as he rides into Jerusalem, and yet alone. Alone in a crowd. And soon to become even more alone. And perhaps the message for us is this. Jesus said over and over again that we should not expect to receive better treatment than he did. If even Jesus experienced exile, apartness, then we who are his followers today should expect the same. He says in Matthew 10, a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. True, we don't experience the ultimate exile that Jesus experienced in his human nature, apartness from God. For by his death, he has dealt with that for us. He's dealt with it. We're not apart from God ever again, if we are his. But the teaching of Scripture is clear that we should, as Christ's men and women and young people, we should expect every other kind of exile. And we too will have to be alone sometimes. We'll have to stand apart from the crowd. We'll have to swim, as it were, against the tide. We'll have to value all human life from conception until natural death, even when many do not. We'll have to insist that all people have value, not because of what they can do or produce, but simply because God created them and loves them. And we'll have to observe the Lord's Day. I was laughing as I read the local papers and saw the local supermarkets advertising their special Easter hours that are no different from any other day of any other week. And we'll have to observe the Lord's Day when others flock to the shops and do business as usual. In a culture where the young are almost pushed into hookups, to one-night stands, we have to be different and often alone. And we'll have to set our financial priorities so that we can give and give and give to make the gospel known, to feed the poor, to house the homeless. And yes, we'll have to endure being called bleeding hearts when we advocate for the refugee. We'll have to endure being called unrealistic when we demand real, genuine action by government and by business to care for a world that we believe doesn't belong to us, but belongs to God. And be very sure, when we do these things, we will experience exile, just as our Master Jesus did. But we can take courage. We can take courage, because after the inevitable exile comes inevitable resurrection and return home. And we will make that journey this week. Thanks be to God. Amen.